It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Here with my good friend Neil Sean in London. And Neil, we have covered these royal events for very long time. We won't put a year on it, but
we started young.
Yes, we started very young. And it's great to be with you. And great to see you. Thank you for doing the Unknown Story podcast with me. You know, you always have the inside track. So as you look at this, and you're going to attend Trooping of the Colors and Trooping the Color, right?
I would say Trooping of the Color. Yeah, it's wrong. You
keep talking Trooping the Color.
Trooping the Color.
I know, I read that and I was like,
started in the 18th century.
Trooping the Color, which is interesting history, actually. It's all about the military regiment holding the flags high so that they could see the other soldiers and they knew where to go.
Exactly. Right? So we all think we're doing something new, but there's no difference to technology today. We're just wanting to be visible, and that's what they want.
So tomorrow, generally, the Queen, for her birthday parade, which is what Trooping the Colour is, would go over to the Horse Guards and basically survey the guards
inspect the guards.
That's the word. So do you think that she will be there at all? I heard some suggestions she might be in a carriage.
I don't think in a carriage. I think if she does attend, and we are hopeful. Just give you a bit of background about the Queen. What's really good now is, because she turned up at the Elizabeth Line opening, and think about this, Martha, you know, 10 a.m. in the morning, she travelled 25 miles from Windsor. She's got the glamour on, the makeup and the outfit, and nobody really knew until 10 minutes before. We were all there, and then the doors opened of the lift, and there she stood, and I thought, wow, that's dedication. But I think it depends on how she feels on the day. But I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't turn up, because it's a very important event for her. And now she's got the buggy, you know, the little drivey thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe she could circle a bit of that, you know, so that would be
sort of like a little Pope mobile. Yeah. It's a Queen mobile.
They're fabulous, actually.
So in terms of who's on horseback, will we see Charles at Trooping the Colour, or William, or both?
And also Princess Anne. So there's going to be three. You see, what they're trying to do now, if you think about it, we are looking, as I said before, we're looking at history. And what history is now is the Queen's radically taking a step back, and she's basically saying, this is the future. Now, what I find quite sad, and I'm sure you'll understand this, it must be very hard for her, because it's a real sort of recognition of what she can't do anymore, you know, i.e. getting on the horse to Troop the Colour, and then she's looking at her son, who's in his 70s, and then Prince William, who's hitting 40 this year, Princess Anne in her 70s. She's looking at her future while she's still with us, which is lovely, but, you know, it's not an ordinary person. It is the reigning monarch, the Queen of England, so it must be quite tough, you know, looking at what you're giving up.
Well, I think we all look at people we know who get older, and we all will someday. And you think about them, you know, giving up driving, giving up this, you know, she's always driven her own car up in Balmoral. She loves to drive the truck. She is such a sportswoman. Yeah. So it must be difficult for her. And I read something about how she felt terrible about her sister Margaret when she was in a wheelchair, and that she doesn't want to be seen in a wheelchair.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is really an absolute poignant moment for Her Majesty the Queen. What it was, Princess Margaret was known as this, you know, beautiful princess, and she was still very glamorous, only for a few years before, sadly, her death. And she went downhill quite quickly. And I think what the Queen doesn't want, she's very protective of her image. And the only radical things that she's done with her change of dress and the way that she deals with things was to let her hair go. She stopped dyeing her hair because she said she got fed up of it. You know, she couldn't be bothered. All girls do that eventually. And we all do. And the thing is, I think she thought, well, this is my image, you know. And what I think she's trying to do is craft an indelible image that will retain long after she's gone. A bit like Queen Victoria. We all know Queen Victoria for the morning dress and the lace in her hair. And that's the image that we remember. And I think the Queen wants us to remember her in vibrant clothes, mobile, bright, bubbly, and, you know, sort of sharp. I think that's what she's looking for. And with Princess Margaret, if you remember that oval picture where the Queen Mother outside celebrating the birth and then the real Princess Di. It's very moving. And I know that bothered the Queen quite a lot, actually.
You know, I'm thinking it's nice, wonderful, that there's an opportunity for her to see this huge celebration for her and for this enormous milestone, because too often it's not until the end of someone's life when everyone turns out to tell you how much they love you. Yeah. So she has this opportunity, and I don't expect her to go anywhere anytime soon. Her mother lived to be 101. You know, we never know. But I wonder if people here realize that everyone, you know, under the age of 70 has never known this country without her.
Yeah, exactly.
As the queen. And really what an enormous change it will be when that time does come.
You know, it's, when you think about it as well, it's very, you know, with your presidents, you know, we're defined by eras. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the Queen, you know, she's met everybody, you know, from Kennedy, Winston Churchill, you know, all the big ones. And you come away thinking, wow, you know. Now, I was thinking that the other day, like, how will the rest of the world react? And particularly people here in the United Kingdom, you know, which has been our, for want of a borrowing phrase, a sort of strength and stay. When she spoke to us at the height of the pandemic, I can't begin to tell you how moving that was, but it made us feel like, oh, okay, she says it's going to be okay, so we'll be all right, you know. And that people say that's cliche. It was a very moving speech, and I think possibly the very best speech she's ever done. It really resonated with a lot of people. And the line at the end, "We will meet again," it was very moving.
Very.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of her mother during World War II and the message that both Churchill and the royal family gave to the British people, and particularly in London, which had bombs dropping on it for days and days and days, months during the Blitz. And you think, well, gee, you know, would it be that moving if Charles gave a speech like that during a difficult time? And what happened? You know, do they lose that ability, or will they rise to the occasion?
You know, that's a good point. I think it's very difficult for Prince Charles, because the bottom line is he won't have long to make a mark. And it sounds an awful thing to say, but, you know, it's very much like Edward VII. You know, he was only around like 12 years. And the problem is he's becoming, you know, on a serious note, he's becoming more popular, particularly with young people, because they resonate with him with the environmental issues, the greeny things. You know, he was sort of hit before it was known as hit. But the problem that you have is that he also has, you know, difficulties, because I'm going to put this nicely. The royal family are like a celebritydom, for want of a better word. Catherine has reached her beautiful peak right now. She's the Bond premiere was just the best, you know.
Funny.
And Prince William, and now, you know, they're a unit, you know. And it's interesting because Prince Charles wanted to slim down the monarchy. And then, of course, you know, there was the disgrace, Prince Andrew. And then you've got Harry.
It slimmed itself down.
Yeah, exactly. But now, you know, you've got a guy who's 70-odd having to take on a lot more work. I've seen Prince Charles in the last 6 months attend so many more events than we would normally. And you do have to say, well, you know, how long can he keep that up, you know? And I think it's going to be very difficult. And also, he's more of an outspoken royal. Remember, we don't hear from the Queen. She's no political sort of... Prince Charles has already said things that he shouldn't have said.
Right.
So you're going to have problems, I think, you know, for him.
Yeah.
But I think people will warm to him on the back of the warmth for Her Majesty the Queen. They like her that much, so they'll will him to get through this bit while, of course...
It's an interesting point because, you know, the Queen has always been careful to uphold the constitutional monarchy arrangement where she does not speak on politics.
Yeah.
And yet we have heard politically tinged things come from Harry or Meghan or, you know, perhaps from Charles, as you say. I don't think so much from William and Kate, because they're just really, you know, straight arrows when it comes to the tradition of it.
The Untold Story continues right after this.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
But I was wondering, on a separate note, purely in my head, if, you know, there's some sort of deal was struck. So Camilla's going to be the queen consort,
yeah,
which is obviously very meaningful to her husband, because the prior line was that she would be princess consort, yeah. Right? So now she has that nice title. And I'm wondering if there was a trade-off in terms of, you know, well, you'll be that. You'll be King Charles, yeah, and Queen Camilla. But William and Kate will be very visible.
Oh,
will,
yeah,
be very strong. And you'll support them always, yeah, in that. Do you think that's possible?
That's a good point, actually, because when you think about it, if Her Majesty the Queen, it sounds awful saying this, but 96, if she lasts to 100, Charles is going to be 75 plus. Mm-hmm. So is Camilla. You know, more than that. You know, they're going to be edging towards 80. Well, how much can they then do? So I think you will see more of visible Kate and William, as we are doing now. But the danger with Prince William is that he is, he does say things that he shouldn't necessarily say, which appeal to the younger generation. But also he has to remember that the older generation just want you to turn up, show up and just do the job. We don't really want opinions. So when he's telling us about, you know, the green issue or the landfill or whatever, we don't really want that. We kind of want the fairy tale. And that's probably a bit shallow, but you know what I mean? But we just kind of want, and when Catherine looks beautiful and, you know, just the nice things and the charity work, we like that. I think what William needs to realise is that in the 21st century, royals won't be treated with such deference. You know, people won't be as bowing and curtsying. And I think you noticed that recently when he said, you've probably seen that they signed it W and C, rather than their Royal Highnesses or, you know, the Duke and Duchess. They're trying to be more informal on social media. Some people like that, some people don't. Personally, I think stick to the plot. It's what sells it.
Well, as you say, when you break down that wall, you become more familiar. You're also open to criticism.
Yeah.
That's the choice you make, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a parent. When you become too familiar, you lose your authority to some extent.
And then literally, you have this situation where, as you know, it's interesting. The wonderful driver that you sent for me, that brought me over today, he was talking about, oh, you know, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you've got this platinum jubilee and these rich people, we're celebrating rich people living in palaces. And, you know.
Right.
But as I pointed out, well, in Queen Victoria's time, there were slums. There was even more poverty, you know, and they celebrated it. Every generation is the same. It just is highlighted in a different way of like, oh, look, you know, why have they got this X amount of room at Buckingham Palace and you have all these homeless people? And then we've had Prince William sleeping with four charities on pavements, doing them out there. Very commendable. But I'm not sure how that's going to work in the future. It's a very thin line he's got to tread. I think she's brilliant, actually. I think she's more stronger than people realise. I've, you know, met her on quite a few occasions, very nice and smiley, but there's a steeliness there that you think, okay, you know, I could see. And I think she's done some great work,
yeah,
in moulding him, really, to the guy that we like.
Well, everybody says she's going to save the whole family. Do you agree?
I think that she, along with Princess Anne and Sophie Wessex, could save
three strong women.
Absolutely. It's always strong women, though. Yeah. I know it sounds very camp to say that, but it really is strong women, because the men tendingly in the royal family, if you look at like Prince Harry, forever moaning about mental health and hard done by. Have you noticed you never see that from Meghan Markle? She never shows any weaknesses. Mm-hmm. It's the men that are put forward as incompetent and weak. A lot easier if you need to get rid of them in the end if you get rid of it.
Well, we're going to continue our conversation over the next few days, and it's great to have this curtain opener of a podcast with you, Neil. It's always fun. Thank you so much, Neil Sean.
Nice to see you, Mark.
Great to see you.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.